Psalm 68 verse 4 says, sing unto God. That's King James Version.
Yes, sir.
Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heaven by his name Jah, and rejoice before him. Do you see that word Jah in your Bible?
Yes, I do.
That's not a misprint. That's his name. They tried to cover it 6,800 plus times, but they missed one. His name, when we talk about praising his name, his position, his office is God. His name is Yah. The J is silent. It's a Y sound. Didn't y'all just finish the song? Hallelujah. Right? You didn't say hallelujah, even though you spell it with a J. You say hallelujah. It's a Hebrew word that means praise Yah. The last part is his name. Hallelujah. It's praises to him. Why am I important I say that? Because when I'm preaching, I'm going to substitute the word God for Yah. Because it's in the Bible. I want to look at something today that honestly will change your life forever. It's a verse that we've read probably hundreds of thousands of times. But when you look at things with new eyes, it'll bless you. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, last book in the what we call the Old Testament.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Beginning at that common verse 6.
Talk, sir. Talk, sir.
For I am Yah. I change not.
I do not change.
Therefore, ye sons of your coal are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, that's you, y'all, that's your forefathers, your ancestors. You are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Ooh, watch this word. Return unto me. Now that's something when the father have to tell us. Return unto me and I will, that's a promise, return unto you, saith Yah of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Question mark.
How are we going to do it?
Verse 8. Will a man rob Yahuwah? Yet you robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. You cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation, bringing all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith Yah of hosts, if I, he's the one doing it, if I will not open to you the window of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it, verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yah of hosts. And all nations, all people, all nationalities will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Yah or Yahuwah of hosts. Simple sermon subject. Return to Yah. Look at your neighbor. Come on, find somebody. Tell them, return to Yah. You may be seated. Return. Not just return to God. There are several people who have several gods. You do know everybody claims to have a God. But we want to return to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Talk, sir.
Whose name is Yah, according to the manuscript. In this passage, we have here Yahweh. We see a controversy. An argument, a dispute that he has with us. We get a chance to see, which nobody likes to talk about that, but that he actually has a controversy with his people. In other words, he's thinking one thing, but his people are thinking another thing. He's heading in a particular direction, but his people are wanting to go in a different direction, and it's causing conflict, and it's causing controversy, and it's causing a dispute. Now watch this. He could just kill them.
Yes, he could. He got the power.
Because he said that's the only reason you're not destroyed. I could kill you for going against me, but the reason that I'm not going to do it is because I made a promise to your forefather, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I would not destroy you. That's the only reason.
Talk, sir. Talk, sir.
When I think about our people, you do know this is your Bible, right? This is your book. I know the man tried to keep you, the powers that be, the slave masters, the Europeans, trying to erase your name. Y'all know your last name really ain't like Davis and Smith and Jones, right? That got erased. Your language is not English. Your roots are not in England. They took your language.
Yes, sir. I wrote it somewhere.
And gave you English. But that's not your roots. The customs that you have are not your customs. Those customs were given to you by the powers that be. And to be honest, the God that you think you serve is oftentimes not the God of the manuscript. It's the one he gave you.
Well.
But now that we've been free in the land of our captivity, and we realize that we cannot go back home to Jerusalem because they're not letting us back. Everybody else can go back. All they got to do is claim Yah. But we can't go back. Our skin prevents us from going back to our land.
Well.
So therefore we have to remain in the land of our captivity even after the captivity is over. Here's the issue. We are his people, but we are outside of his land.
Well. Preach that back.
And we came way over here and got turned around. our name, our language, our customs, our feast days.
Uh-huh.
Watch this. They changed our diet.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
They changed everything until we came to the real, until we actually don't know who we are, whose we are. We don't know how we're supposed to live, act, walk, talk, what we're supposed to eat. This wasn't in my sermon, but I better say this.
No, say it.
You do know we top every negative category that there is in the nation.
Well.
There's a reason for that. When it comes to our health, we lead in heart attack and stroke.
Yes, sir.
And obesity and high blood pressure. Because we're trying to live off of a diet they gave us instead of the one our Heavenly Father gave. I'm trying to help you see something.
Go ahead.
Our families are messed up. Because we're trying to pattern our lives after them instead of after him. Here's all I'm trying to say. We got messed up. For 400 years, we were disinherited.
Well.
And as a result, we are separated from our Heavenly Father, who made us his people and the sheep of his pasture. And we wonder why things are not going well. It's in the text.
It's in the text.
We are not with him. But he's given us an invitation. Ooh, I'm happy. Y'all don't know it. I'm happy. To return to him.
You got it.
That's the shouting part. That yes, we are far from him, and we are doing our own thing, living our own way, and headed toward hell, the lake of fire. But I hear the Father through the prophet talking to us today. Return to me. Return. Come back to me. You see, Hebrews, that's us, Hebrew Israelites can be wicked. We can. We can be stubborn.
Well.
We can be selfish and self-centered. We can be stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And two problems in this text we got to deal with, and then I'm going to bid you farewell. Number one, he has to deal with us for deserting him. He's going to deal with us for desertion, for running away, for quitting, for not continuing in his service. And number two, he's got a problem with us because we're robbing him. It's a double whammy. It's bad enough to be a runaway. Are y'all with me in here? I mean, it's bad enough to desert your post. It's bad enough to turn your back on his will and his word and his work. But then add to that, you're going to steal what was his on your way out. I know y'all don't have kids of runaway age. But if you ever have a child run away, especially when they're little. I grew up in the country, and we used to do that, get mad at mom and dad. You know, I'm going to run away.
Yes, sir.
But we didn't realize the little bicycle we're going to run away on, mom and dad bought it. The little lunch we're going to pack so we don't get hungry while we run. Mom and dad, come on, help me somebody. Bought it!
Talk, sir.
All that we have, it was given to us by our Father.
Well,
so when we desert him, It's a double whammy.
Yes, sir.
They had ran away from his ordinances. They had ran away from the business which was his. They were commanded to use their energy and their strength to help increase the kingdom. And the lives were to be a keeping of his commandments. But they went away from his ordinances. They got tired of law, of Yah's laws. I mean, come on. They old fashioned.
Well.
No other God before him. I need more than one God. Come on now. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. No, I like statues and images and idols.
Well.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. No, I like taking his name in vain. That's something I do, you know. Remember the Shabbat and keep it holy. No, I'm not going to remember no Shabbat to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. No, I didn't like my mama or my daddy. Thou shalt not commit adultery. No, I'm going to do that too, because you just don't know what that girl putting down. Thou shalt not steal. Well, it depends.
Well,
thou shalt not kill. Well, I didn't really want this pregnancy in the first place. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Well, ain't nothing wrong with a little lie.
Well.
Am I in the house? I thought this was family. Are we in the... We're family, right?
We listening.
Thou shalt not covet. And it ain't nothing wrong with seeing something that you really want for yourself. So what have we done? We have, as a people, basically said to Yah, I don't care nothing about your commandments. And on top of that, don't come asking me for nothing. My job is to ask you. You don't ask me. I need a job. Okay, would you give 10%? No. Heavenly Father, would you please help me with my health and my strength? I will, but when you get healthy, are you going to help my church and help my members and help the preacher and help the congregation and help the community? No!
Lord, have mercy.
Am I laying down the argument and the complaint? Are you catching it? Yah is looking at his people going, I don't understand this.
Well.
I woke you up this morning. Started you on your way. Give you health and strength and shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, a reasonable portion of health and strength. I've given you a mind to come out and you go through the motions, and yet you're saying, I don't want to do nothing for you and I don't want to give nothing to you.
Yeah.
I got a problem with that.
Lord.
I have a problem with you. Being tired of doing what I ask you to do. When you don't want me to ever be tired of doing what you ask me to do. You want to ask me to do stuff all the time.
That's it.
Matter of fact, I'm doing my thing, woo, even when you don't ask. You're just depending on me to keep the sun shining. You're just dependent on me to keep the moon glowing. You're just dependent on me to keep the oxygen that you breathe, the air regulated with oxygen and hydrogen and carbon dioxide balance, so that there's not too much hydrogen in the air, so that when you light a match, the whole world blow up. No, you trusting in me to be me and to do what I'm supposed to do, but yet you don't. And this is supposed to be an agreement.
Yeah.
I'm your father, but you're my people. Three times you were enslaved by a world superpower. Number one, Egypt. And down in Egypt land, you had no power or no might. The only thing you had was a mouth, and you hollered to me, talking about, help me. And I whooped Egypt on your behalf. and at the same time prove to the Egyptologists, you know, I always like to poke at them, because we got some brethren today call themselves Egyptologists. They trying to bring the blacks in line with the Egyptians. Let me tell y'all something. Nah, we ain't African Egypt. No, we're the Hebrew. Y'all already dealt with the Egyptians. Put a separation. All y'all who want to follow Ra and the sun god and all that, let me tell you something. Your gods got whooped by flies and ants and roaches and whatever else. Your gods can't compare to the Most High. Locusts whooped your god.
Yes, they did.
We whooped your god with, y'all whooped your god with frogs and lice to prove to you that the Egyptian gods mean nothing when it comes to our Most High. It ain't no contest.
You
got out of Egypt without having to, watch this, shoot one arrow or wield one sword. When the time was right, I got you out. Then you forsook me and ended up in Babylonian captivity. And once again, you did not have to fire one shot or wield one sword. I just raised up a fella named Cyrus. And when he got in the position to take over Babylon, I had one of my prophets show him, listen, man, let my people go. He said, man, are you crazy? I'm not letting these Hebrews go. He said, well, based on the record, you're the man supposed to do it. Do you know that story? That his name was written in the manuscript 100 years before he came on the scene. That he would be the one to let his folk go. And when he read his own name in the manuscript, he said, oh, well, y'all going out. Have a good trip. Rebuild your walls and your temple. That was the second slave of a world superpower that required no fighting on behalf of the Hebrew people. The third one was obviously here in the United States of America. 400 years of slavery here. And when he got ready to set us free, he made the North fight the South. Y'all do know that, right?
Yes, sir.
You know you're right.
Yeah. He had Japheth's kids in the North fight Japheth's kids in the South. I mean, most of us were still chopping cotton.
Yes, sir. Yes,
turning over clods of dirt. They killing each other. Next thing you know, they come out in the cotton field. You free. Can you imagine that message? You out turning over dirt. Say, hey, y'all free. Man, go on with that. Man, no, it's true. You free. See what happened? The president, he just got up and made a proclamation of emancipation. Here's my point. He's done it all for you. And then when you get a little something, all of a sudden you forget him. His work, his ministry, his word. And as he puts a little change in your pocket, as he puts four wheels under you, as he lets you read and write and understand his word,
well,
you turn around and desert the post. Turn around and rob him by saying, I'm not going to worship. I'm not going to. Matter of fact, I'm going to let my actions speak louder than my words. I'm just not doing nothing. want to do? Before you make your final decision, let me give you another gracious invitation. Come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to your place of duty and service. Return your allegiance to me. Come back to me. I will receive you as a traveler who got lost and now finding a way. I'll receive you back. If you just return, it won't be no hard feelings if you come back. Matter of fact, I'll give you a picture. It's like that prodigal son that's gone out and do his own thing. Now he's broke and busted and smelling like a swine. But when he come back to the father, all we're going to do is put a ring on his finger and clothes on his back and kill the fatted calf. Come back to me. We're not going to have no big long time of, I don't believe you did this and I can't believe you did that. No, if you come back to me, I will receive you unto myself. I'll forgive your sins. I'll wipe them out. I will cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. I will separate them from me as far as the east is from the west. But you got to come back. Do you know what these Hebrews said? Let me check my time. You know what these Hebrews said? They said, wherein? What did we do? Are you serious? You see all them twerking videos? Talking about what did we do? Are y'all really watching all this Baphomet and all of this Illuminati and all of this perversion that y'all into, and you're talking about how do we get back? Really?
Well,
so you don't see nothing. You don't see nothing wrong with what you're doing. You run up and down your street, you can see the streets of San Francisco. You mean tell me you don't see nothing wrong with your people?
Yeah.
Everything is right. Is that what you're saying? Everything is right. It's okay for our brothers to be sisters and our sisters to be brothers. Is that what you said? Everything is right. Everything is okay. It's okay for our sisters of Zion to be so strung out that they have scratched themselves down to bone. Everything's all right. We don't need to return. Everything is fine. Are you serious? Hungry children in a land of plenty. Homeless Hebrews. When we got houses boarded up. But you don't see nothing wrong. We don't help each other. We don't watch out for one another. We don't support each other. You're talking about how to get back as though we're not separated from it? Oh, I hear you. But we in church. I'm not talking about coming back to this building.
No.
We're talking about returning to him.
Amen.
They said it with such disdain. Listen to that boy. How? Wherein?
Where?
Yeah, I said, okay. You're trying to act ignorant. So let me show you something. Number one, you are ignorant of me. Number two, you're ignorant of your spiritual nature. And you're ignorant of my divine laws that were put in place so that you would be a people above and not beneath.
Yeah, that's the key. That's
so ignorant that you can't see yourself nothing more than an ex-slave. I mean, nothing more than the bottom rung of society. Are you serious? When I made you in my image and in my likeness? Come back. How can we come back?
Well,
here's a good start. Bring. Bring back the money you embezzled. Let's start there.
Let's just start right there.
How about we just start right there? Let's clear the air. Y'all done stole from me. You've been stealing. I've been giving you money and jobs. And some of you with no job still getting some money. And the reason I'm giving you that is so that you can take a portion of that and put it in the temple so there can be meat in the house for my people. So every time you don't give a tithe and an offering, you're stealing from me. It's different than robbing a bank. It's called embezzlement. You see, if you really want to take all the money from the bank, don't walk in the front door with a gun and put it in the teller's face and say, open the drawer. If you want to take the money from the bank, first get a job at the bank. Work your way up to the president of the bank. I wish, I'm sorry, I'm teaching somebody how to get. I'm talking about if you really want to get paid.
Work your way up.
You don't steal with no gun, you steal with a pencil and a pen.
If you really want.
But Yah does not see you as that type of a thief. He sees you as that dumb thief that comes in the front door. Yeah. Talking about, all right, God.
Stick him up. Stick him up. God bless.
I know you gave me that $1,000, but if you want this $100, come and try it again.
Stick him up. No.
I'll tell you what I do. Since you think you can rob me, since you think you can, you know, kind of hold me up, stick them up. Tell you what, you know, I just won't rebuke the devourer for you. How about that?
Okay.
I just let the enemy
take
it all from you. Because you do know there are some things money can't buy. Oh yeah, you're trying to hold on with all your might. But you do know money can buy a house. But it can't buy a home. Yeah, your money can buy some medicine, but it can't buy health. Yeah, your money can buy some food, but it cannot buy an appetite. Money can buy a man. Money can buy a woman, but it can't buy love. Money can buy cold, but it can't buy warmth. He said, all right, you want to continue to rob me? Then I'll make it to where the devourer, matter of fact, I'll just give him your name and address. And when you do make it, and you're bragging about it, I'll have it be like putting it in to bags.
Yeah.
With holes,
Doc. With holes. I know you're right.
But let me.
You don't go west.
I'm 33 minutes in, and I'm trying to learn how to preach 30 minute sermons. Amen. This Bay Area attention span is a little short up here. In the country, we ain't got nothing else to do. Amen. We got a church that hang around like now, but up here, everybody on schedule. So let me rush to close this thing now. When you rob Yah, it is a heinous crime. It's so heinous that even the robber does not want to admit to the fact they robbed. They say, wherein have we robbed you?
Where we do it, God?
Well, you robbed him in tithes and offering.
Yeah.
But you've also robbed him of his honor.
Yeah.
Because when you give the tithe, it is showing that you honor him and thank him for giving you the 90. So when he does not get that, listen, it's like saying he didn't give you anything. Much of my life.
Well.
Much of my life, my parents shaped my behavior by connecting my behavior to their honor.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You ain't finna leave this house looking like this, because somebody gonna think that you didn't have no home training. In other words, your mismatched socks reflects on me as a parent. You run around here with holes in your pants, make it look like I'm not providing for you. And when you rob him, that's the way it looks like. Oh, so you got a God that don't give you nothing but $10 a week? You only put in a dollar? Woo, I don't want that God. Rob him of his glory. The glory is the natural working of a thing. Here it is. A thing performing the way it was intended to perform. Before you get, watch this. Your life was intended to be a life of blessing always, so that the world would see you and want to glorify the Father. It's called glory.
That's it.
So watch this. If you rob him and tie his hands from working through you, the purpose you were made for, then somebody that's supposed to see his glory through you and not gonna see it. And then you rob him of the money necessary to pay for the preacher, so he don't have to go out and work at McDonald's. Who in here would go to a dentist who done put in 8 hours at Target? Then talk about, I'll be there right after work. And he come in the dental office, still got his Target shirt on. Talking about open wide, say, ah. You be like, no. You supposed to be a dentist. How many of you would lay down on an operating table and the doctor come in with Kentucky Fried Chicken shirt and hat on, scrubbing up, and you look up and say, wait, hold on, doc. He said, well, it's tight out here, y'all. It's a struggle. Money's tight. My patients don't pay. But I got a job at Kentucky Fried at KFC. I've been there all day. But it's all right. I'm still a good doctor. Ooh, you Hebrews will start pulling wires and tubes out of your so fast. Jump up off that table. I'll take my chance. With this bad heart. So, if that's true of a dentist and a heart surgeon, why in the world would you want your pastor, who's not dealing with the temporal things of fallen teeth and bad hearts, but dealing with souls that have an eternal destination connected to it? No, Rev, I don't need you flipping burgers. I need you flipping pages. I need you reading this manuscript. I need you studying this book right here. I need you to be the best you can be at this. Am I right about it?
You know you're right.
Somebody got to give them musicians something. They practicing. They putting in time. They buying instruments to play for you. So that you can have a good time. Why do you think I'm here this morning? I came to have a, I almost said funky in church. I came to have a good time. I don't want to come in no church and say, what's wrong with musicians? Well, you know, church is struggling. We just had clapping and foot stomping today. No. Or they hitting all kind of bad notes. Say, man, what's wrong with you? I had no time to practice. Why? Stressed out. 2-3 jobs. No, wait a minute. We need you focused.
Yeah.
Because when I come here, we're going to take it to the top.
Okay, okay.
That's what the tithe helps. That's what the tithe and the offering. You rob yourself of the potential that the Most High has given you. Am I making any sense at all in this room on this Sunday morning? But if that's the case, let me close it down with a solution. The solution is to bring the tithe and the offering. Yeah, not half a tithe. A half a tithe wouldn't be a tithe, it'd be like a fifth or something. The tithe is 10. No, you bring it to the house, it'll be meat in the house, and everybody in the house will have what's necessary for survival. You bring what Yah tells you to bring by putting him first. Get away from that excuse, I don't have it. It don't fly. It doesn't fly with the Most High. Because before he pays your check, he gives you the tithe. See, the tithe is not the leftover, it's the first thing. It's the first part of what you do is his. He knows he gave you the first. He gave you the first before he gave you the second. Am I still in the house? And he deserves the first. I grew up in a house in the country. It was 8 children. Plus mama and daddy. And then my dog, Zephyr. I love Zephyr. Zephyr was my dog. 13 years.
13 years, doggy.
Yeah. Zephyr was my dog. Everybody in the neighborhood knew Zephyr. Back in those days, you didn't have to chain up the dog. He run free. And my dog run all over town. Everybody knew Zephyr. Said, Zephyr, go home. Zephyr run on back. He was a good dog. But as good as a dog as Zephyr was, he would fight for me. He would protect me. He would guard the house. But when it came time for dinner, my mama never got Zephyr and my daddy mixed up. In other words, we didn't give Zephyr the best cut and then give my daddy the leftovers. No. In those days, my mama made my daddy's plate first. Set it on the table. First, man, let him sit down. First, and then after my daddy was fed, then the children came and sat down around the table, and Zephyr was outside, and it wasn't until we finished eating that they scraped the plate into what was called a dog dish, and that was given to Zephyr. Now let me tell you something. Most church folk are treating the Most High like Zephyr. You think that God is Zephyr. You think that the Most High Yah is Zephyr. You put yourself first. You eat and you drink and you buy and you sell and you hustle. And if you got a little something left, you're going to scrape it into the God dish. No. Keeping no lights on. Zephyr wasn't paying no bills. Zephyr didn't pay the mortgage. Can I have a witness here? But I'm closing when I tell you that I'm so glad that I learned how to put my God first.
Yes, sir.
Because he is first. As a matter of fact, when I opened the manuscript, it says in the beginning, God. If you can just have your life fall into those words, I guarantee you everything is going to be all right. And if you say in the beginning, God. You don't have to worry about your time. He's in the game. Yeah. are guilty. No matter how hard you try. Yes, because he has been given a long time. He started out giving in the book of Genesis. He gave to darkness light. He gave to chaos order. He gave to a dry ground grass, flowers, shrubs, bushes, and trees. He gave to the day the sun, and he gave to the night the moon. He gave to the air birds, and he gave to water, fish, and everything that God made. It gives, for the sun gives light and warmth. The moon gives times and seasons. The stars give direction and beauty. An intriguing mystery to the midnight sky. Plants give us food. Streams and rivers and brooks give us water. Because our God is a giving God. I read, but God so loved the world. Somebody say, put him first. Talk back to me if you can. Say, put him first. It's very simple. It's not mystical or magical. He's already set forth the precedence, the principles. All you have to do is believe, then receive.
Yes.
Put him first.
Yes.
First thing you should do if you're here and out of the church is give him your life.
Yes.
Because he's already first given his life for you. Is there one today who say yes to his will, his word, every one of his ways, but say, I'm going to give him his word. There it is.
Is that one? Here we go. Here we go. And your perfect plan. Is that one today? All of what you say, and your here we go. Lord, I'm available to you. To do what you want. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way. Come on, come on. To say, here's the part I like. All of my storms is empty. I wish I had some available for today. Pastor Davis, let us know if you put it. Say it one more time. Oh. I'm available to you. You are gonna be first. I'm here to do what you want. Use me, Lord. Show what I'm doing and me. Oh, this is what I'm telling you. Stay up for a while. Come on. My story is in. I'm going to tell you my. Yeah, too. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise. Come on, let's give Pastor Davis a hand. Oh, thank you.